Welcome to the Tapping World Summit 2013. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this audio, you agree to the terms located at thetappingworldsummit.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview helps you become a healthier and happier you. The Anxiety and Depression Association of America says that anxiety is a normal part of childhood, and every child goes through phases. A phase is temporary and usually harmless. But children who suffer from an anxiety disorder experience fear, nervousness, and shyness, and they start to avoid places and activities. So whether you want to help a child who has temporary anxiety or a child who seems to struggle with an anxiety disorder, you'll learn how tapping can help. We'll be speaking to Steve Wells from EFTDownUnder.com. Steve is a psychologist and professional speaker based in Perth, Western Australia. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Jess.
Steve, I'm so happy you're here. You're a psychologist, but one of your most important jobs in life is that you are a father. So can you tell me a bit about why you wanted to cover this topic?
Okay, well, first of all, I have seen the benefit of it in my life personally and with my family. And I say to people, there's only a few things that I've learned in all my study of psychology that work at home. And this is something that works at home. I do tapping. My wife does it. We've used it with all of our kids. And it's been absolutely fantastic for helping them through different fears that they've had, nighttime fears, problems at school, you know, worries with other kids, worries with employers now, it turns out, with my oldest. But also, it's taken me a long time to realize why I went into psychology. And now I look back on my life and I think, wow, I was so anxious. I was such an anxious person. And I was that anxious kid. I did all the things. I mean, you know, I had to get up and do the stuff that you do at school, like talking in front of the class. And I used to shake all over when I would do that. And yet I did quite well. And I loved getting up and being the center of attention. But I would do that and I'd be shaking all the time, absolutely shaking all over. And I remember having to speak in front of the school and just being absolutely terrified. And I suffered severe test anxiety and all those kinds of things. So I kind of look back and I think, wow, you know, wouldn't it be great to help people to grow up without having to suffer in that way? And I've just had so many examples that have kind of hit me in the face in the last few years of people around me, people related to me, people that have been referred to me, where there are kids with anxiety problems and we need to get this stuff out to them. So I'm really, really keen to get this stuff out to them to help them to ease those transitions that everybody goes through, to stop something that really doesn't have to develop into a major disorder from doing that, to just allow kids to be kids and enjoy their life, you know, rather than being caught up in anxiety all the time and worry.
Well, Steve, I'm so excited to learn more. And let's start talking about this problem with kids who are dealing with anxiety. What are some common issues that you find that children are feeling anxious about that we can address with tapping?
Okay, well, there are some things that happen that are just generally happen to kids at various stages in their life. And parents struggle with this stuff all the time. And this is the great thing is that, you know, for me, having tapping, I've been using tapping with my oldest boy, who's now 18, since he was three. That was when I started using tapping. And with my other two children, I've got an 18-year-old and two 14-year-olds, two boys and a girl. The oldest is 18, and then I've got a boy and a girl twin. And I've been using with them since they were born. And so I've seen them go through some of this stuff. So just the typical stuff, for example, you know, kids develop separation anxiety from going away from their parents. When they have a transition, like going to stay somewhere or going to someone else or going to kindergarten or going to school, staying at a friend's house, they have nighttime fears when they're young. You know, it might be an undescribable fear initially, might be fear of monsters, might be fear of home invasion. I remember for my daughter, it was fear of robbers, you know, robbers coming into the house. And then there's, you know, all the stuff that comes up at school and all the upsetting situations at school. And that's where the performance issue can come in. I mean, kids can develop that earlier, but they certainly often develop that at school, you know, that anxiety over performance, anxiety over tests. And that can really develop into kind of much bigger problems like perfectionism and unwillingness to even make a mistake and all that kind of stuff. And there's something else I want to mention right now, a couple of things that are really relevant in this day and age. One is the fact that kids can get vicariously traumatized through television, through, you know, since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, we've seen the effects of a traumatic incident being spread around the world. And so that kind of anxiety associated with those events can spread through the world. We now know that we have mirror neurons, that when something happens to someone else that you observe, your neurons and your nervous system are firing as well and vibrating in alignment with that. So you kind of feel some of those feelings for those people. And this is and kids, because they don't have an adult perspective, can take stuff on board. They don't really know exactly what's going on, but it can really frighten them, and they can go over and over that. And one other thing I just want to mention quickly is the cyberbullying and the Facebooks and all of those kind of things. There's lots and lots of issues that I see with teenagers, particularly for that kind of stuff. And the way I see it is that, you know, because kids connect with all of their friends, if something bad is happening for someone, or if someone is being bullied, then they can pick up the negative energy of that, even if it isn't happening to them. And that's certainly what I've seen happening with my daughter, you know, is that some stuff was happening for other kids and it really affected her. So these are the kinds of things that I think that we can really use tapping to help with.
Right. You are bringing up such a valid point and something that we need to start focusing on, because when we were children, when I was a child, I didn't have Facebook either. So we really are dealing with all these different situations and all these different stimuluses that these children are having. So it's really great for us to become aware that it's not just experiences that happen to them, but also experiences that they observe. So with that, Steve, we're hearing about all these different ways that kids can have the reasons why kids can have anxiety. How can tapping really help?
Okay, well, there's numerous ways that you can use tapping to help overcome these problems. And the first way, I'm going to say this right up front, is to help yourself as their parent to be able to calm yourself down and to calm your own anxieties down so that you can help them. Because kids pick up on adults' states. And particularly young children, they're very highly tuned into the states of the adults around them. And so tapping can be used for yourself to be able to allow you to deal with these problems. I remember when my oldest son was, I used to go down to the basketball courts with some friends and we'd play, and I would put him in the creche, and he had glasses on because he had a vision problem. And on one occasion, he got picked on by some kids. Well, I got really affected by that. And, because it provoked all my own issues. So first of all, we can use it to help ourselves. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that later, because I think this is really crucial, is to be doing tapping on ourselves. And I think anyone who's listening should be tapping along on the points at the same time. Obviously, you know, if we're just the way we do tapping is just simply tapping on the points while you are going through your business and going about your business. You can certainly use it for first aid, and you can use it for first aid with your kids. And you can teach them to use it as first for themselves when they get upset. So you can teach it as self-help, as a way of kids being able to self-manage their emotions in various situations, teaching them that they don't really need to let things get out of control, that they have got something that they can self-soothe with and they can calm themselves down. And once you've taught it to them, they can then take that away and use it in all kinds of situations in their life. And it really is an empowering thing to have a tool to be able to deal with things in various situations. You can also use it in a preventative way with things that are coming up that they might be anxious about, and you can help them to deal with those situations much, much better. So this is, for example, you know, I know over here, you know, when kids are going for their exams leading up to, you know, they do exams at the end of high school that are going to be really important in terms of their future, and some people overemphasize how crucial that is, and you can help kids to calm down on a lot of that stuff. And it's really, really helpful for parents who are going through that, because a lot of parents are really suffering during that particular examination year over in our country anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, here as well, I think a lot of parents can relate to that. It's hard. I don't have children, but I can imagine how hard it is to see your own child suffer and the pain that causes a parent. So like you already said, that's why it's so important for us to do the tapping ourselves before working with children. You've already shared, Steve, some really great examples with your own children. Do you have any other examples with your children or other children that you think would be valuable to share with us?
I can give you 100 examples with my kids, and we probably spend the whole time talking about them. But I think, you know, maybe we'll just pick two or three and go through them. I just want to mention, though, one of the ways to introduce it to young kids that a colleague of mine, a psychologist, Jo Weiss, and she and I wrote a book together, Introducing Tapping to Kids, Rose and the Night Monsters. And she teaches kids to do the tapping as a sort of like a little tap dance that you do on your face. And she's really good at introducing it to them that way. I'm not as good as introducing it in that way. I just sit down with the kid and, you know, I'll either show them or walk them through the steps of doing the tapping. But for her, making it a game and introducing it as a tap dance is a really good thing, particularly for young kids. All right, so I mentioned I've used it with my eldest son, Josh, since he was 3 years old, and I've used it with all my kids on their nighttime fears. And often what I would do was that, you know, they would be crying or screaming or whatever they would be. And often parents in that situation, you know, they go in and they can't really calm the kid. And if they can calm the kid down, then the kid doesn't really want them to leave. I found that with tapping, I was able to actually tap with them, and I would just tap on the points for them. And we would just talk about whatever it is that they were upset, whether it was a nightmare that they were having or whether it was a fear, and we'd talk about that. You know, I can remember saying to my daughter, you know, are you scared that robbers are going to break in and all that? And she'd go, yes. And we would just be tapping on the points while we're talking about that. The astounding thing with young kids is that often you can do tapping and in half a minute or a minute, they're like, okay, can I go to bed now? It's just so incredibly quick. And I can remember an incident with my oldest boy when he was about, must have been about 4 years old. And we went down the south of Western Australia and went on a thing called the treetop walk. And this is a walk that goes above all the tall timber trees, you know, these magnificent high trees. And it's built to integrate into the environment, but it actually sways. And while we were up there, I hadn't realized that my son was really upset, but he was hanging onto the side when I came up to him. And he was like, Daddy, I'm scared. And I didn't really know what to do. So, and this was in the early days of knowing about tapping for me. So I just did a bit of tapping under his eye and he instantly let go and started walking in the middle of the thing himself. And then he walked for about, I don't know, about 20 meters, and then he held on again, and he was obviously getting a bit scared again. So, I said, are you still a bit scared, mate? And he's like, yes. And I just did a little bit more tapping, again, just on that point under the eye, and he walked the rest of the way on his own, no more problems. Absolutely quick and absolutely incredible. Now, it's not always like that. Sometimes it's different to that. I remember Josh was actually a bit of a skeptic. I would go into his room at night because he'd be calling out and I'd say, well, let's try doing this tapping. And he would say, that won't work. And I would say, well, let's just try it and see anyway. And while I was tapping on the points for him, I would just be talking about what he's upset about. And 95% of the time it would work despite his protests that it wouldn't. You know, when we were on that trip with the treetop walk, I remember the next day we went into a boat. And as we pulled the boat into the water, Josh was in the boat and the boat started to rock and he just screamed. And so I jumped into the boat and I grabbed hold of him and, I was just trying to calm him as you normally do, saying, it's all right, mate, you're fine. And he wasn't calming down. And so then again, I thought, okay, I'll try tapping. And I just tapped under his eye again and he instantly points over the other side. He says, oh, look at that thing over there. It's like a totally different child instantly appeared in that moment. And that's how quick it can be often with young kids when you're doing tapping with them. They don't seem to have as many blocks as adults do. And in fact, one of the challenges for adults in doing tapping with kids is that the adults want to talk on and on for hours and the kids are ready to go off and play. So like I would say to people, look, you know, pay attention to them. When they're ready to go back and play, they're ready to go and play. They're in the moment, particularly, you know, young kids. And that's one of the lovely things about young kids, that they are in that moment.
Right. I think what we're also learning from these stories is that you're not thinking about fancy things to say or making it complicated. You know, your child was feeling anxiety in the moment and you went right to tapping on those meridian points.
Yeah. Now, I said to them first, you know, okay, let's try doing a little bit of tapping and stuff like that. I think it's really important to really even get permission. But, you know, my son would say all the time, oh, this won't work. And I would say, well, let's try it anyway. And he would let me. And then one time, and this is the time where I learned it's really important for us adults to do the tapping on ourselves, particularly parents who are using tapping with their kids. So Josh's, on this occasion, he just for some reason he got scared to go to the toilet on his own at night, Now, he'd actually been going to the toilet on his own at night for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden he was too scared to go to the toilet. So I said to him, okay, let's try the tapping. And he says, that won't work. And I said, well, let's do it anyway. And I did it. We did it anyway, and it didn't work. And then I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? So I'm like, okay, well, the fear isn't going to win. You can do it, mate. You know, you're going to go on your own. And I kind of, you know, did exposure therapy with him, the old-fashioned method of feel the fear and do it anyway. And he went, but he was crying, and it was really upsetting, and I felt like a rotten parent. And he got back in his bed, and I walked out into the kitchen, and I realized I was so stressed. In that moment, I suddenly realized I'm really anxious about him being anxious. I'm upset about him being upset. And I realized that I just didn't want him to have my problems that I had had when I was a kid. And so I was really provoked by that. So I sat down and started doing a bit of tapping on myself, and I felt that stress leave my body. And then I walked into his room and I sat down on the end of the bed, and I was able to be with him in a way that I wasn't before when I had really been trying to fix the problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So I sat down with him and we just started talking, and I said, okay, you know, we talked about what it was. And I don't know if you remember that show Pokemon. It was just a cartoon that used to be on the television. It's got right into it. And he's just one episode, and there was this ghost Pokemon, and the way it spoke and what it said and really scared him, and it kind of stuck in his mind. And this is the kind of thing that can happen a lot with kids. And then I said to him, I said, do you want to do a little bit of tapping on that? Because I could see he was open to it. I wasn't pushing him anymore to do it, and my anxiety wasn't stopping everything. And he said, yeah. And that was kind of the first time when it was like, you know, he wasn't saying this won't work when we were doing it at night. He went to bed, and then the next night he said, I was okay until I flushed it. And so we did a little bit more tapping. Now, a few nights after that, he screams out, he's like, Daddy, I need some tapping. And I can still remember stumbling out of bed with a smile on my face thinking, wow, you know, the skeptic has turned around.
Oh, that is so sweet. Well, those are some great examples. Thank you for sharing those personal family stories with us. And I'm curious, Steve, are there some important general guidelines to follow for using tapping with kids?
Yes. Okay. Well, first one I've already said, which is tap on yourself first about your reactions to your kids' problems. That's especially true for really, really younger kids. Can I just give one other really crucial example?
Yes, because, please.
My daughter was a twin. I say I have a son with Down syndrome and a daughter with Up syndrome. They were born like opposites. Absolutely incredible. She came out screaming. And in the first year of her life, she could scream so loud. She could scream for an hour and a half and still be screaming as if she was going to die an hour and a half later at the same intensity. And every parent goes through this where you've got a time when you can't settle your child. But it was kind of different with Olivia because she could persist. And it was really, really, really stressful. And because every parent wants to calm their child down, you know, you try to feed them, you try to change them, you see what is it, you try to, you know, you burp them or whatever you do, and you take them through this process. And one day I was trying to change her and she was screaming as if she was dying, and I realized I was shaking. And so I finished changing her and I put her down and I just went aside and I started tapping. And it was instantly, in that moment, it was like scales fell off my eyes and I had this realization in my mind, she just cries. That's what she does. Like, and I realized she wasn't going to die from it. It was just that at that time, her way of dealing with, you know, she would cry when she was upset, she'd cry when she was hurt, she'd cry when she was having a new experience. It was just the way that she met those situations in the world. So once again, I had the massive benefit of doing the tapping on myself. I wish I could say that doing the tapping on that meant that she stopped crying, but you know what? It didn't even really matter because I realized that she wasn't going to die, that she was okay. I did all the things that I needed to do. I was also able to be with her more and not be just so upset at the auditory assault of it, you know. Right. So that was another thing really to me an important message of doing tapping for yourself. And I would never work with a parent with a baby without having the parents doing lots and lots of tapping on themselves for their own anxieties about issues for the child. when you're working with really, really young kids, like babies, you really want a gentle touch, and you may not even be doing tapping. You might just be gently, soothingly, just lightly touching or rubbing the points. And I would often do this for Olivia just to help her to go to sleep, just be lightly touching or rubbing the point in between the eyebrow point. And this is a point that parents have used for years, but, you know, we know with tapping that it's an acupressure point. With all kids, you've got to match your language to the level that kids are at and talk in their words rather than your own words. And here's the thing. Don't expect kids to have the words for their feelings. Don't expect them to know why they're upset necessarily. Many, many times I would sit down with my kids and I would just have to try and guess at what they're upset about. And I would also guess at how they might be feeling about that. And I would say, oh, you know, maybe if you had that, maybe you'd be feeling this. And we'd just be tapping the whole time. And sometimes they would say, yes, I am, or whatever. And sometimes they would say no. But if you're tapping the whole time, then that's fine. But don't expect kids to necessarily have words for their feeling.
So just to be clear with that, Steve, if they don't have words, we can guess the words. But could we even just do the tapping as they're in that state without using any words?
Absolutely. It's just like you can sit down with your kid and you can give them a hug. The same thing with tapping. And if you are going to use words, now we learnt really early on, you know, in the way that we do tapping, just we in our simple energy techniques approach, we don't use setup statements. But with kids, I learnt really early on that they don't necessarily need setup statements to solve the problem. You can just simply tap and then it can resolve. If you are going to use setup statements with kids, and, you know, in EFT you use the setup statement, even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely accept myself, that's not really one that you're going to use with kids. It is nice to sit down with your kid and say, even though you're upset, you're still a good kid. Even though you have this emotion, you're still okay. Even though you're really scared, I still love you. This is the kind of thing that a parent can do. And I think the great thing about doing that is that you're letting them know that they're not a bad person for having bad emotions. I think it's important to teach kids that having emotions doesn't make them a bad person, and they're not they're not to blame for that. So I do think it can be helpful to say, you know, even though you're upset about this, you're still okay. And I would say that for them when they were younger, and I would progressively teach them to do the tapping. Now, here's another thing I've learned. In general, doesn't apply to all kids, but in general, I've found that girls can do the tapping for themselves a lot earlier than guys can. And when you do it with young boys, generally you find that you'll teach them to tap on the points and then they'll tap all over the place.
Yeah.
Just a general thing I've seen with dozens and dozens and dozens of kids, little girls seem to be able to do it for themselves a lot sooner. But you know what? Sometimes it's good as a parent to do the tapping for your kids. And then as my kids got older, I would do the tapping for them, and then I'd say, well, okay, now you tap and I'll tap along with you. And then I would say, okay, you know, have you done any tapping on that? And okay, let's do it now, and you tap along with me while you tell me what it is. And progressively teaching them to be able to take on board and do the tapping for themselves. And, you know, I remember, like my oldest boy, you know, we teach the fingertip tapping, and that's a discreet way that kids can go out into the world and use the tapping in situations at school or other places where they're not necessarily, you know, it looks a little ridiculous to be tapping on your face. So the fingertip tapping, just for those who don't know about our approach, is using the thumb of the same hand to tap lightly on the side of each of the fingers of that same hand. So you're lightly just tapping. I'm doing it now as I talk to you. Using the thumb of the same hand to tap on the side of the index finger and then to tap on the side of the middle finger. And then we also get them to tap and teach people to tap on the side of the ring finger. This isn't a point in traditional EFT, but we use it and it works really well. And then down from there to just tapping on the side of the little finger. And this is a discreet way of using tapping. And you don't even have to tap. You can just get them to touch or lightly hold or just rub the points. And that can be a much more discreet way of them being able to take tapping out into the world. So, you know, my oldest boy, I'd taught him the tapping and would use it on various things as he's grown up. And then when he was an older teenager, he got a job. And the boss was particularly stroppy. this person used to get really, really tense and upset and start yelling at people. And he'd had one occasion at work where someone else had done something and he'd been blamed for it. And he hadn't really had a chance to represent his side of things. Anyway, so he told us about that. And as I was driving him to work, I said, it'd be a good time to do some tapping. And he holds up his hand. He says, I'm already doing it.
Oh, that is great. So that's a great tip to teach children as well as to do ourselves. If we can't do the basic tapping, to just tap on those fingertips. So thank you for that tip. And Steve, when we're talking about children, there's children of all different ages. You know, there's infants, there's young children, there's older preteens and teens. Can you walk us through how tapping changes depending on age?
Absolutely. Just something else I'll mention that comes up when I think about that, because for infants, you really want that soft, gentle touch. But you know what? You want to adjust the touch for different kids. So I have three kids and they all like a different level of touch. So my son Josh just likes a general kind of intensity of tapping. And having said that, he does all his tapping for himself now. He's 18, he's a man. And he, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't occasionally say to him, you know, oh, that might be good to tap on, or, you know, talk to him about his issues. But I let my kids have problems and don't insist that they tap for everything. I think that's another important thing I'll say.
Oh, well, that's an important tip, because I can imagine that if you have a parent always saying, oh, well, you should tap on that. As a child, you want to feel like your emotions are being validated, and tapping is meant to help children validate their emotions. But I can imagine that if a parent goes really quick to just saying, we'll just tap on that, the child doesn't feel like they're really being validated.
Well, yeah, because sometimes the kid's not looking for that. They're looking for a connection with you and stuff like that. And I kind of think, okay, I'm going to let them have their problems. It's only when things get stuck or toxic or dysfunctional that I really think that I need to intervene as a parent. You know, if I've taught them the tapping and I've done tapping with them on stuff where they clearly need it, or where they're either where they're asking for it or where they clearly need it, or as a parent I see that there's a need, I'm going to jump in and do it. But otherwise, I'm going to let them go through their experiences. I don't see all emotions as bad and wrong. And I think, as you said, when you're telling, especially that idea of tapping it away, that really concerns me when people talk about tapping things away. I don't believe that's what we're doing. I believe the tapping helps us to process what's happening in the world. And I believe that our feelings are meant to move us and to move through us. And it's only when they get stuck that there's a problem. So I don't see that so-called negative emotions are negative unless they're stuck, unless they're toxic or overwhelming. And that's when the tapping can help. So, you know, I don't jump in and force my kids to tap all the time. And there are large periods of time where we don't do tapping at all. I mean, Olivia is a typical 14-year-old teenager now, and she does not, you know, she used to be daddy's little girl, but we're going through the period where she doesn't necessarily want to be daddy's little girl, and she's going to decide, you know, what she does and what she doesn't do. So she's not necessarily going to do the tapping, and I don't want to be forcing it and pushing it. I think it's important to let them go at various times. And you know what? They are entitled to have their suffering that they've earned. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a good point to be careful not to judge children's emotions too quickly and have faith that they'll go through the process. And like you said, intervene when you feel like you need to.
Well, who's the one with the anxiety if you always have to make them tap for every emotion?
Right.
You're the one scared of negative emotions. Now we're teaching them to be scared of negative emotions. And then we kind of set up a resistance. And I think that's when the tapping doesn't work, when we have to try and force problems to go away. And that's what I was doing when Josh was upset that time. I was trying to make the problem go away for him because I didn't want him to be upset. And that was somehow interrupting the process and not allowing it to flow.
So let's focus on then younger children. So we know that with infants, it's good to have a soothing, soft touch on the meridian points. How do you address, you know, younger toddlers and just young children?
Okay, so first of all, you want to get down to their level. You want to use language which is at their level. And for young kids, you're going to be doing the tapping for them. And you're going to be, you know, I think it's really good just to carry on a conversation with them and just talk to them about what's going on. And as you're talking about it, you can just be tapping on the points for them. And again, don't expect them to know exactly what's going on, and you can be projecting for them and saying, well, this might be the feeling that you'd have there, or that, you know, if that happened to me, this is what I would be feeling. Is that what you're feeling? And you can just be tapping with them as you're talking about this. And you know what? You can even be totally wrong about what it is. But just the fact that you're sitting there and you're tapping, the problem is tuned in anyway. So as always, tap yourself first. For younger kids, do the tapping for them and then progressively teach them to do the tapping. Just talk with them about what the problem is while you're tapping with them. Teach them what to do to the degree that they're able to do that. Oh, for some problems, I'll just say one thing. For things like temper tantrums and so on, going to be very, very difficult to get a kid to stop and tap at that time. And now, I know we're talking about anxiety today, but gee, temper tantrums cause parents a lot of anxiety often. And if I had a kid having a temper tantrum, I would be doing the tapping on myself. And I always say, don't talk to a drunk when they're drunk, and don't try and expect that a kid who's angry, upset, is going to do the tapping. So I'd wait until a more neutral time and then talk about what happened at that time and do the tapping with them then.
Do you find if you do the work after the temper tantrum that it can prevent future temper tantrums?
Yes, because what you want to do is you want to talk to them about it in neutral time. You can reflect back on what happened and you can say, oh, that really upset you, or that really stressed you. Sometimes when kids respond angrily, by the way, they are anxious. And I see a lot of problems that are being diagnosed. You know, there are various kids with labels like ADD and all of that that are actually suffering a massive amount of anxiety. And kids tend to act out when they tend to act out their feelings. And one of the ways they might act out their feelings, and this is particularly the case for boys, is they might act out their feelings in what looks like an angry, destructive way. But what's driving that might actually be anxiety. So don't talk to a drunk when they're drunk. When at a more neutral time, when things have settled down a bit, then you can talk to them and you can do some tapping, reflecting on what happened. And then you can also, if you can, try and either look underneath at what might be causing that. But you can also teach the tapping to them as a way of preventing them from having to get so upset, preventing them from having to escalate. And so teach it to them and get them doing lots of tapping at times when they're not having those temper tantrums. You'll find that those will tend to reduce over time generally.
Right. And then how about older children, you know, preteens and teens?
I find teenagers particularly, they like to be talked to and treated as adults, but they're still children. And this is a really, really difficult fine line for parents. And parents need to do a lot of tapping often through the teenage years for, not for all kids, because when you have kids, they're going to be totally different. So there'll be one that'll be much easier and that will take your advice on board, and there'll be one that will want to resist it. And the teenage years are years of trying on new values and resisting parents' values, potentially considering other possibilities and so on. And that's just a natural part of that. But there are some occasions when you might have to kind of break through that and just say, no, you know, I see that you need help here and we need to talk about this and this isn't working, and just break through all of those barriers for a situation where the kid needs help. And for that kind of thing, I like to reserve that for really important stuff rather than to use it all the time. So I think if you've got a teenager, you're going to tolerate a fair amount of angst that's happening for them. If they will take on board the tapping, if you've taught them the tapping earlier, then often you'll find that they're using it, but they don't even necessarily want you to know that they're using it. So,
right. It's a little bit trickier.
She said, you know, well, you know, it doesn't work. And then we were doing some tapping at that time. And she says, well, it just does relax me, you know.
Well, Steve, I want to back up a little bit and focus more on younger children. One question that came to mind is, when you're dealing with a child that is young and you want to do the tapping and you want to do it for the first time, how do you explain it to them? I mean, do you have to go into a long explanation? Do you have any tips on how we first address a child to let them know we're going to try something a little bit different this time to help you feel better?
Oh, look, I don't think kids need long explanations. I think it's the adults that think that they do. Generally, kids will go along with you. They might, you know, like Josh, say, oh, that won't work or whatever. But they don't want, a big, deep explanation. Like my friend says, you know, okay, this is like a tap dance you do on your face on these special points that can help your body to relax and make you feel calm. That is enough. People find that stimulating these points or tapping on these points, probably tapping rather than stimulating, help them to feel better. Would you like to try it? That's enough, you know?
I love how simple you're making it, and also how you're teaching us that it's not about fancy words or any, you don't have to do any really big digging, but just allowing the child to say what they're upset about and tap. A lot of times when something works so effectively like tapping, we try to make it more complicated than it really is.
Oh, absolutely. And like with adults, yeah, all right. You know, there's all this talk about core issues and stuff like that. Kids are generally more simple. They're just dealing with stuff right in the moment, you know? And so in the moment, they've had a thought about a robber and it's upset them, and you can just tap with them and talk with them about that, and that's it. They'll let go of that, and it will be gone quite quickly. If it isn't, then you can use other methods. Like, you know, there's some books around, and we have one of them where you can read kids a story about a child who uses tapping to overcome a problem. You can tell a story about someone who used tapping with another kid and it helped them. I can give you a beautiful example of that.
Please.
When my kids were really young, in fact, this was only when we had Josh, and you have the play group that gets together. All the parents, particularly the mothers in this case, had a mother's group, and then we had Father Christmas. So we connected someone to be Father Christmas and dressed up and came down with the bell, and obviously this is in our particular culture, big thing, Father Christmas, really exciting, except for the fact that all the kids started screaming. And all the other kids thought it was a threat as well, so they started screaming, and all of a sudden every parent has got a screaming child. Absolute, you know, nightmare. And then eventually they calm them down and, you know, okay, it's actually okay and here's a present for you and all that kind of stuff. All right, so fast forward 1 year. The next year they're another year older. They've made the connection. Father Christmas, presents, you know, good thing, you know. Put up with being on someone's lap, but you get to have a present or a lolly or something at the end of it, a sweet. Anyway, all of the kids were fine that next year except for one particular kid. And I was there, and this lady was telling me that since that previous year, what had happened was that her daughter had just become terrified and so couldn't even go into a shopping center where there might be a Santa Claus, Father Christmas dressed up. It had generalized to other children's characters and even generalized to furry animals and dogs. So she started to develop a real problem out of this. And at the time, I thought that you had to use setup with statements with kids and stuff like that. But I thought, okay, we don't have time to do all this. Just tap on these points. And like a minute later, ding, 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 down comes Santa Claus. And, you know, all the kids are like really excited. And this kid starts to cry and be upset. And the mother's kind of holding her and she was kind of writhing around, but mum's tapping on these points. And I just watched and the child just settled down. And then she put the child down on the ground and the child just kind of watched with her eyes wide open as Santa Claus went down and sat on the seat. Then she walked over to the group on her own, left her mother, walked up to the front. When her name was called, she went up and she had to be dragged away.
Oh.
Absolutely fantastic. So, you know, you can tell stories like that to kids and, you know, you can say, would you like to try it? You know, we have one in our book, but you don't have to buy the book. You can use the story I just told you.
Right. One thing I love is I've mentioned this to you, Steve. My mother is a school psychologist and she's incorporated tapping. And what amazes me is that a kid will be upset and they'll walk up to her and say, Dr. Ortner, can we do that tapping thing? And now they're asking for it.
That's right. That's right. First, they have the experience of it and then they want more. And that's exactly what happened with Josh. And that incident, by the way, where he was screaming, Daddy, I need some tapping. Do you know what that was about? That was, as it turned out, that was after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And he'd managed to see some bits of that on television because he was off school. And, of course, when you've got a kid at home, they're always wanting to check TV to see if there's anything on that they can watch. And it was on every channel all the time. And the images were replayed over and over and over. So when he was screaming out, Daddy, I need some tapping, and then I went and you know, he's just lying in bed and we're in the dark and we're just doing the tapping. And he'd actually woke up having a nightmare of being crushed in a building. And we did the tapping for that. It probably took 5 minutes. Back to sleep, no more effects from that incident. Nothing else came up for him. So this is the kind of thing that I'm mentioning about the vicarious traumatization. Kids can really get deeply affected by stuff that they see on television. And sometimes we don't know about that, but it can come up in things like their nightmares and their fears, their nighttime fears and stuff. And it's a great, great thing to be able to stop that before it goes any further.
It is, and that's really the incredible point of all of this, is that we're giving children a tool that they can use and they could use for the rest of their lives, so that these emotions don't start stacking and stacking and stacking until they're older and feel the burden of all this weight and all this anxiety that they never knew how to address.
Absolutely. And this is what I think, you know, I mean, I have done a lot of work in schools, and I run around teaching workshops to teachers in emotional first aid, and I teach them the tapping as a tool that they can use to help to calm kids. And that really happened because I had several incidents all happened at the same time. You know, my cousin, her son went to a new school and he started having panic attacks. You know, he'd never had panic attacks before in his life, but he started having these panic attacks. And so I just sat down with him one day and I said, you know, I help a lot of people with these kind of problems. And, you know, one of the ways that I help him is I teach them to do this tapping. And we talked about what he was scared about. Now, we did that for two sessions, no more panic attacks. An A student is having really, a really great time enjoying the new school. And that same week, I had a girl referred to me with the same kind of problem in a transition. You know, and schools don't often have the resources or even the awareness that this kind of thing happens when a kid goes to a new school, when they make a transition from one place to another, even a new classroom, new teacher, then all kinds of things happen and all dynamics change, and you can use tapping to help them through those. Can I give you one example of a school thing that happened?
Yes, I'm finding these examples so helpful.
My son, my oldest son, at one point, he was in primary, well, we call it primary school here, we call it elementary school. So I think he was about year 5 or 6. And at that time in the class, they have to do math, and they do this mental math where the teacher goes through some questions every day and they have to, you know, like the teacher yells out, you know, 6 9s, and they have to write down 54 or whatever they think the answer is. And anyway, progressively, because Josh wasn't very organized at the time, he'd get like 3 or 4 or 5 out of 10 on this test that they did every day. So the teacher said to him, right, he said, if you don't get at least 7 out of 10 in the next test, you're going to get kicked down to the lower class, and all they do is worksheets. Okay. So Josh came home and he was a bit upset about this because he didn't want to get kicked down to the lower class. And so it turned out that he had trouble with the multiplication tables, particularly 6 times, 7 times, 8 times, and 9 times, because they're all difficult ones, right? 2s and 3s are easy, and 5s and 10s are easy, but, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, those are the difficult ones. So my wife started working with him, just teaching him the 9 times tables, because there's a trick with the 9 times tables, and it's easier to learn than a lot of the others. Anyway, and then it was my turn. So then I sat down and said, okay, we're going to do 6 time tables. And then as he went to do it, I could just see that he had a blockage in his breathing. And I said, mate, that feeling that you're having right there, that's the problem. And so let's do some tapping for that problem. That feeling that's coming up, that's making you feel bad when you start to do these tables. All right, so we just started tapping on that. And we're tapping while we're doing the tables. But then, you know, I could see he wanted to talk. So we talked about what it was. And he talked about how upset he was that the teacher had yelled at him. And so we just did a bit of tapping while we were focusing on what happened. And then at the same time, he remembered a couple of other times when other teachers had yelled at him, or when the same teacher had yelled at him at other times. And I kid you not, we then did the tapping while he was doing his tables. And he learned his tables, the entire 6, 7, 8, and 9 times tables, I would say in an accumulated time of about 2 hours, totally. Now, when I was a kid, we had to recite them endlessly to get them into our heads. But it was like, because he wasn't blocked, because it was all easy. It just went straight in. And in fact, his teacher wasn't there the next day and someone else did the test, but they did it on 6 times tables. And like it was out of 50 and he got 45 out of 50. And then it was the weekend and then the teacher was back the next week and he got 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10. And the teacher ended up giving him a merit certificate. He wrote that he had an immediate and sustained improvement in maths. And he talked to me later, and first of all, he apologized for yelling at Josh. He said, look, I was just frustrated. I didn't know what else to do, and I'm sorry that I yelled at him. And, so we talked about that. But he also said that all of his other subjects had improved as well because of his maths improving. And so he'd really made a significant difference in everything just by clearing that kind of blocked energy.
What an incredible story. Thank you for that, Steve. And Steve, we've been talking about some really common everyday occurrences that we can use tapping for. What if you're dealing with a child that has severe anxiety?
Okay. So first of all, you can use tapping with things which have really strong feelings. You can use them on anxiety and fear and even phobias. It isn't the intensity of the feelings that the issue, they can settle down and they can go away and they can be treated. The challenge with the more severe anxiety programs is that there are multiple things happening. There is severe avoidance. Kids can develop ritualized behaviors like rocking, or they can dissociate or go away from situations that they want to avoid mentally, go right into themselves and so on. And in those situations, there's more needed. There's no reason why you can't still do tapping with your kids, but I would say in those kind of circumstances, you need to get some help. You are not necessarily your child's therapist. You are their parent. And there are some really good professionals out there who can help you with those problems. It isn't always essential that that person that helps be able to do tapping. Yes, it's great if there are people around in your area who have experience in working with kids who also have experience in tapping, but there are other good professionals around and you can just combine tapping with what they do. So in general, for more severe anxiety problems, I would say, number one, don't expect that all problems are going to go away with a few taps. I now look back on my life and I realize that what I had was what I would call a more general anxiety problem. And it's only been over the years as I've done more and more and more tapping that I've realized that it's the quantity of tapping that has helped that problem to go away. And it was never going to go away in a few taps. There were certainly things that I did tapping on that did shift instantly. And there were other things which were just tenacious and persisted. And so that more general anxiety, that requires either a combination approach and or it requires a lot of tapping over time. So we teach tapping for energy toning, and this is the kind of daily tapping that you do in order to settle down that overactive, overreactive nervous system. So some people, it's like their primitive alarm system is on the whole time, and that's what happens with the more severe anxiety. So a lot of tapping can help that. And if a lot of tapping over time is not helping that, then tapping is not necessarily going to be enough. And that's when I want to combine approaches. I want to look for some professional assistance. And I wouldn't expect that as a parent, I'm going to be able to do everything for my kids. And I personally have not been able to do everything for myself. And tapping on some issues for myself, some things I get relief with, other things stubbornly don't get relief, and then with a lot of persistence they can work, and other things I just can't get anything, and then 5 minutes with someone else and it shifts, because we need other people.
Right. You're making a great point. It's a lot to be a parent and a therapist.
It is, and you're not necessarily going to be able to do it all. And getting some assistance, particularly with those more severe anxiety conditions and, what they call the anxiety disorders, if you want to go to the technical description and definition of them, they're really, really tough to deal with. And, it's a challenge when people get the one-minute wonders on various conditions and expect that that's going to be the case on these more severe conditions. It's not. And even some conditions, a massive amount of tapping is not going to be enough. You're going to need to combine the tapping with other things. And when I say other things, I mean that very broadly. I'm including all of the traditional medical side of things as well as alternative things such as nutrition and exercise and right. therapy and, you know, possibly medication in some cases. You know, I hate to say that, and I'm going to get people who will complain and be very upset that I even mentioned that. But you know what? If it gives your child back their life, and whether that's for a period of time or whether that's necessary for a longer time, then I'm all for it. But tapping can be combined with those things. And if you do have to go down a medication route, for example, often you can find that if you combine the tapping with that, if the medication helps the blockage to lift a little bit, then the work that you do with tapping can take hold. And then, you know, you have a chance of actually getting off that and being able to have a life. So I think people should really do whatever is necessary to get to a place where they have, you know, where their life is on an even keel, themselves and their kids.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, I've found all these stories very inspiring and enlightening, and we've learned a lot. We've learned the importance of tapping on ourselves before working with a child, the importance of using their language, and the different ways to tap with different ages. Do you have any last piece of wisdom for the parents and the teachers and just the people out there that want to support the children in their lives with tapping?
Oh, look, I would just say, look, let's get it out there and get it to the kids who need it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be seen as this weird woo-woo thing. Just teach it to them as a simple thing that they can use to make themselves feel calm. If you're presenting it to people, you can just teach it to parents and others as a simple stress management tool. You don't have to build it up as anything really weird or strange. It's just a simple process, which if you do it and you do a lot of it, it's going to give your kids a lot of relief. And it's going to help you to feel a lot less stressed.
Well said. Well, Steve, once again, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Jess, absolute pleasure talking with you.